Welcome to this weekend's In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley. Do you ever wonder what happens to a person when they are saved? Let's learn about this unique transformation as the study of Colossians continues.
I want you to turn to Romans chapter 6 for a moment. Verse 6, he says, knowing this, not hoping this, not thinking about it or considering, but knowing this, that our old self, that is what we were before we were saved, our old self, he says, was crucified with Christ, that our body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Now, let me explain something. The Bible says that when Jesus Christ died 2,000 years ago on the cross, God placed upon him not only our sin, but he says he placed on that cross every single one of us. That is, when he died, we died to our old life. That when he was buried, we were buried. That when he arose, we arose. And that together we have resurrection life living within us. Now, that becomes an actual reality in your life and mine the moment we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. We don't feel that. Most of us didn't even know that's what happened, but that's exactly what Paul says in several ways. He says, we've been crucified. When he died, we died. What did we die to? Old life. We were buried to it, rose to walk in newness of life. And as he says here in Colossians, he says, we have togetherness life with him. We are resurrected together with him. We have his life within us. Now watch this. Having received the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we have a new nature. We have God's divine nature. Secondly, we have a brand new freedom. Now, I want you to listen carefully because you may question something that I say. Not because it's not true, but because you're not used to thinking this way. Do you realize that oftentimes we feel more comfortable feeling guilty than we do not guilty? Many people feel a little more comfortable feeling guilty than not guilty. So I want to just give you that as a little warning about what I'm going to say. Look, he says, now, not only a new nature, but also a new freedom. Verse 13. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, that is, before you were saved, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. And this is his description of how he did it. Having canceled out the certificate of debt, canceled it out. This debt certificate consisting of decrees against us, that is, all the condemnation, the guilt, and the judgment against us, he's taken it out of the way. And he nailed it to the cross. Now, what does he mean by that? Simply this, that it's as if all of our sins are on this certificate. And God says he canceled it. That is, he stamped it, paid in full. That means I don't have to pay for it. Secondly, if you'll notice the terminology he uses, he says not only did he cancel it, but he has taken it out of the way. And that phrase in the Greek means taken it completely out of sight. That is, when God forgave you of your sins, he took them totally out of sight. Listen, they're out of his sight. The word here, cancel, means he erased them. He says that all of your sins and mine have been forgiven. That is, our certificate of debt of judgment against us, God says, has been canceled. Paid in full with the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, wiped away, erased once and for all. Now, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, the Bible says that God placed on that cross your certificate of debt. That's what he means in 1 Peter. Look there, if you will. I want you to see the word primarily. In the second chapter, verse 24. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we may die to sin's reign in our life and live to righteousness, for by his wounds we were healed. He bore it. Now, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, the Bible says, first of all, when he went there, that God placed us there with him. When he died, we died. When he died 2,000 years ago, we died. When he was buried, we were buried. When he arose, we arose. And now we're living in the resurrection life of Jesus Christ. Likewise, 2,000 years ago, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he nailed on that cross our certificate of debt, so that when he died, that certificate of debt symbolizing your sin and mine, his death was payment for that sin so that no longer will we have to pay for what Jesus Christ has already paid for. Therefore, we are completely and totally pardoned of sin forever. Now, look, if you will, in verse 13. He says, having forgiven us how much of our transgressions? How many? Now, let me ask you a question. When did Jesus die? 2,000 years ago. When did he die for your sins? 2,000 years ago. When did God the Father nail your certificate of debt on the cross? 2,000 years ago. When did he stamp it paid in full? 2,000 years ago. When did he say it's canceled? 2,000 years ago. So that all your forgiveness and mine, God effected 2,000 years ago. Now, it becomes a part of my life. It becomes applicable to my situation. It becomes a reality in my life the moment I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. That which he did for me 2,000 years ago becomes reality the moment I received him as my Savior as a 12-year-old boy. All of it canceled, erased, gone forever, and he says, fully atoned for, paid in full, the sin debt's over. Now, let me ask you a question. I'm not trying to trick you. I just want you to think about something. All of our sin has been atoned for. You say, but now wait a minute. What about what the Bible says, confession? Confession does not get me forgiveness. Repentance does not get me forgiveness. That which gets me forgiveness is the shed blood of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago at the cross. So when it's all, it's grace, fully grace, all grace, that is the grace of God. Confession is my acknowledgement before God that I've sinned against him and my opportunity and my responsibility to thank him for what he did for me 2,000 years ago. Repentance is my change of mind about my attitude and my change of direction on the basis that God has convicted me of that sin and I am a forgiven child of God, and walking the way I was walking is out of nature and out of keeping with who I am, because 2,000 years ago Jesus Christ paid that debt in full. If I can add anything to my forgiveness by confession and repentance, it isn't all of grace, but mostly grace and some of my performance. Now, here's a question I want to ask you. In the life of a believer, now listen carefully and think about it before you react. In the life of one who has received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, whose sins have been atoned for once and for all 2,000 years ago, he said, all transgressions, all sin, in the light of the true purposes of confession and repentance, is there such thing in the life of a believer as an unforgiven sin? I know exactly what some folks think. You mean to tell me that I can go ahead and sin and live like the devil, I'm forgiven? Now, here's what I want you to see. I want you to hear what I said and what I didn't say. What I said was, all of our sin, past, present, future, nailed to the cross. It is the blood of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ alone that paid our sin debt in full, not my confession, not my repentance. They have a very important place in the life of the believer, but that does not get me forgiven. It is the blood that bought my salvation and bought my forgiveness. So that there is no such thing as an unforgiven sin in the life of a believer. Now listen carefully. I did not say that because you're forgiven, that God's chastising, loving hand of correction will not come into your life, because it will. It is because we're the forgiven children of God. It is because we've been liberated. It is because we have a new life. It is because we have a new nature. It is because we're children of the living God that God sends his loving, chastising hand of discipline and correction in order that we might live up to the nature of who we really are in him. Now think about this. A holy, righteous God who has gone to the infinite of his capacity to express genuine, undeserved, unconditional love toward us. That God has the right to discipline me at any moment, at any time, because his act of discipline is always an act of love. That's why he says, you're complete in Christ. You have a brand new nature. You're free. You are liberated. You don't have to come to church Sunday after Sunday full of guilt and wondering if the pastor's going to say anything to help you get rid of guilt. I want to tell you this morning, you can get rid of it here and now by accepting your forgiveness already atoned for 2,000 years ago, because you cannot add to what Jesus did. Why do you think he said, "It is finished"? What can you add to what Jesus said is finished? I can tell you this, you can't add anything that he'll accept. Do you realize how liberated and freed you are as a believer? Not to walk in sin, but to walk in holiness and obedience to God, motivated by love and loyalty to him. He set you free. You're a Christian, but what? What happened to the shackles? The truth is, God took the chains off your life the day you were saved, and nobody told you, and so you're still trying to make it through life the best you can. Just drop your hands, relax, and rest in the liberty purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. Now look at this. He says in verse 15, he says, "When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him." Now, what he's saying is that when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, he conquered every single power in opposition to him, not once, but forever. I want you to look at two passages. First of all, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. He says in verse 18, "For Christ also died for sin, once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made proclamations to the spirits now in prison." That is, all of those demonic powers in prison. Listen, he proclaimed his sovereignty over them forever and ever and ever. Satan and every demonic power in existence today is under subjection to the sovereign reign of Jesus Christ. That's why he's broken the power of sin in our life, and Satan cannot touch a single one of us apart from the permissive will of God. Go back to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Listen. "Since then, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself also, likewise also, partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might deliver those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all of their lives." We've been released and liberated. The powers of darkness have been defeated, he says, in this passage. And he says, Jesus, like a commanding general, walked into the Holy of Holies, into the heavenlies, in absolute and total triumph over every single power and authority in existence. Nothing is equal to the person of Jesus Christ, and that sovereign Christ is the same one who said, "I am abiding within you, Christ in you and all of his power, Christ in you, your hope of life here and hereafter." Then there's a third thing I want you to notice in verse 16. He says, we have a new nature, a new sense of liberty, a new freedom in our forgiveness. And then he says, we have a new standard of conduct. Now, one of the primary reasons Paul in this passage is speaking as he is because the false teachers there in Colossae were saying, it's all right to have Jesus, but you also must practice the law. You also must be circumcised. You must also eat according to the law, drink according to the law, recognize the Sabbath. And so what they were trying to do is put all these rules and regulations on these people. The whole problem of legalism. If, for example, in the Baptist church, if a Baptist church is legalistic, they got certain do's and don'ts. A Roman Catholic church would have their do's and don'ts. An Episcopal church would have their list of do's and don'ts. So the truth is, how in the world can mankind live by legalistic rules when the rules change every time you change denominations? It's impossible. And besides that, what he's saying is it's absolutely needless. You cannot add to salvation. When he says it's finished, it's finished. When he atoned for all of your sins, past, present, future, nothing to add to it. We are not to live by the rules and the regulations of men. We are to live in obedience to the law of God. And all those dietary rules, and speaking of the diet in the Old Testament, we don't have to live by those. Jesus settled that one statement. So that if you want to eat fish that does not have scales on it, that does not mean you've sinned against God. The Hebrew would have broken a dietary law for them, but that doesn't apply to us today. That does not mean that the Old Testament is not inspired. Every bit of it is inspired. But God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, has superseded that so that you and I are not living by legalistic rules and regulations. We are living by the law of God. Now listen, what is the law of God in essence for the believer but the indwelling presence of Jesus Christ? So that, as I've said over and over and over again, the Christian life is an expression. Listen, it is my submission to the indwelling presence of Jesus, who will express His life through my life and your life as we submit to Him. That's what the Christian life is all about. It isn't do's and don'ts, but it is the flow of Jesus. It is the flow of the life of Christ in our life. That's what the Christian life's all about. We are free. We have a brand new nature. We are freed from the guilt and the penalty of sin. And He says we have a whole new standard of conduct, and the new standard of conduct is not rules and regulations. Our new standard of conduct is the personal life of Jesus Christ within us. Now, you have a new freedom. And you have a new standard to go by, not the rules and regulations of men, but by the life of Jesus Christ, who is living within you. Here's the key. The Lord Jesus Christ, who's living within you, who said through the Apostle Paul, "He that calleth thee will also do it." You know what that means? Whatever God requires of you, Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit within you, will do it through you in His power. That's why you are complete. All the power you'll ever need is within you. It is living and abiding resurrection power in the person of Jesus Christ, liberating and freeing and elevating and giving the Christian joy and confidence and peace and contentment in a world that is so distraught with wickedness and evil and vileness and emptiness and purposelessness. God has given us all of that in the person of Jesus Christ. And my friend, you're looking and searching and trying this and this experience and that and all the rest, trying to find something to satisfy you, you'll never find it. People say, "Well, I found the Lord." No, you didn't. Nobody ever found Jesus. Jesus finds us. And He's found you right now. And He's offering you the forgiveness of all of your sin. It doesn't make any difference what you've done. You say, "I am a convicted murderer on death row." The forgiveness of your sin was nailed to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ as surely and as completely and as perfectly as the sin of any believer 12 years of age whose sin is disobedient to their parents. Your sin and that little boy's sin, side by side on the cross, fully atoned for once and for all by the blood of Jesus Christ, you can be free. No matter what you've done, you can be free. Your responsibility is to believe Him, to trust Him, to place your trust in Him, to accept what He has to offer. But you see, it's not a what, it's a person. It is to receive Jesus Christ by faith as your personal Savior, which means that you acknowledge that you've sinned against God. You acknowledge that He died on the cross for your sin. You acknowledge that you need Him. And you receive Him by faith into your life. And you humble yourself before Him to live for Him as the indwelling Holy Spirit enables you to do so. And my friend, you can be behind bars and much freer than people who walk in the streets, bound, shackled by guilt, disobedience, rebellion toward Almighty God. You get a new nature and a new freedom, and your whole standard of living changes because now it's not meeting rules. It's just allowing the beautiful fountain of Jesus to flow out of your life moment by moment, day by day. That is what the Christian life is all about. That is God's offer to you. And that can be yours right now if you're willing to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life.
Thank you for listening to part two of Fully Alive. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or In Touch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.